This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And for our next story, we're talking about cyberbullying in Malaysia. And this is after a study by UNICEF and the United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children found that 3 in 10 young Malaysians, or 28% of the people who were polled, have been victims of online violence or bullying.
So the young people in the study are those between 13 to 24 years old. Some of the findings relating to Malaysia are quite alarming. 80% said that violence between young people occurs on social media, with most of it happening on Facebook and Instagram. And 20% have even chosen not to go to school because they were bullied online.
And almost half said that they've heard of private online groups in their school community where information is shared about other children so that they can be bullied. And this data just shows how pervasive online bullying in Malaysia can be, and also how it affects the well-being of young people in Malaysia, especially if they resort to not going to school because of the online bullying.
Yeah, it's a very frightening thing because, it's long been talked about, right? Like, one of the scariest things about online bullying is the very simple fact that you can't escape it. It used to be that, you know, when you go home, then you're in a safe space. Wherever violence or, you know, any sort of harassment was occurring, you could just sort of leave that space. But now you carry the online space with you everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you have it in your phone. If you have push notifications, it's just constant. And so the fact that those numbers are so high are really kind of concerning. 13 to 24 is a very formative time in your life, right? Yeah. It's when you're really trying to shape who you're going to be when you're an adult. And the idea that there are people walking around damaging other people, I think is just very sad.
And it's not just constant as well. It's very public and permanent. Everyone can see it, and not just at that time, but for a long time after that. And this can have really damaging effects on the victim. Not just, you know, it can last for a long time in their life.
And the issue is also that it's sometimes it's a continuation, right? You get bullied at school, you're also likely to be continued bullied online. And that's why the impact, it's like a double whammy, right? People are trying to, researchers are trying to debate right now, which is more harmful? Is it physical bullying in a physical space, or is it online bullying? But if you compound two and two together, that's not the best situation and the best conditions for growth you want your child to be in.
No, and I think it's also, it's about a state of mind thing. You know, it's if you cannot escape it at any point, if it's surrounding you all the time, and if it's in, I think space is a really important, that's why I brought it up earlier, because for a very long time, I think people have dismissed the online space as not physical. It's not real, you know, and those...
They're all words, right? They can't hurt you, essentially.
Exactly. So the arguments always extend to like online bullying, online dating, online friendships. It's all the same argument, which is the online space isn't real. Therefore, all these relationships that you forge in those spaces aren't real. And just as we are seeing people get married from online dating, we're also seeing people driven to, you know, really dire depths because of online bullying. And so I think just broadly speaking, and I'm not speaking about this from an academic point of view, but in terms of teachers and parents and the people who are going to have to deal with these young people on a regular basis, I think just getting to the point where we all accept on a take it for granted basis, the online space is real. I think acknowledging that is super important.
And the thing with... wanting teachers and parents to be involved in the solution to prevent online bullying, part of it, you also need to consider that they only become aware of a problem involving a child once it has become really big. Because before that, the child maybe tends to keep it to themselves, or even they don't allow their parents to befriend them on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. So it will only come to the attention of their guardian, the parents, the teachers, once it has become really big and a really big problem for the student. And by that time, the effects may have already, affected the child.
And I guess it's also for those who might be older, might not be so understanding of that space, right? It is also trying to understand how different forms of digital and cyberbullying can take place, because it also looks very different for both boys and girls, because they tend to use the spaces differently. Girls tend to be a bit more visual. They like to post photos, like to post selfies, and they share it with their friends, and they make a lot more friends online. And they also have communal groups there, right? And for boys, maybe it's different, right? Because they are conditioned to say, oh, you're a boy, you like video games. So then the communal spaces they gather in might be, say, Fortnite, might be, say, Minecraft or whatever. So then you have to figure out and understand those spaces as well to be able to deal with cyberbullying if it occurs and it happens to happen on those platforms instead.
Because the cyberbullying doesn't just happen in the form of like nasty comments, yeah. like saying you are, I don't know, you are fat or whatever. It can also happen in other forms as well. And one of them, because you mentioned online gaming just now, one of them is doxing. So, for example, if a child says in a gaming forum that, you know, I don't like this new feature, I don't like this game, and you've got fans of that game who are don't like that comment, they can do this thing called doxing where they release the information, the private information of that child publicly online, name, address, email address, whatever, and then the other people on that forum can, you know, basically harass the child.
I think that speaks to your point about the permanence of what's going on as well. It's once you have that kind of personal information released out into the world, that's a permanent thing. People have that, you know, just as people can save your photos, just as people can. So it's just a really scary situation. And I really don't think that, I think we are reasonably aware of the problem, but what's happening now is finding the solution is a difficult one because there are just so many different platforms. Everybody uses those platforms in different ways for different purposes. It's like trying to regulate any space where there's a lot of people coming together at the same time. It's just really incredibly difficult. But we're going to try to understand this study in a bit more detail. We're also going to try to talk about some of those solutions. We'd like to hear from you as well. I mean, have you ever experienced cyberbullying? Do you have any thoughts on, especially if you have kids, on how to kind of make it stop, on how to kind of assist the issue? Call us at 7733-2900 to tell us. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Mark Vergara, who is Chief of Communications at UNICEF Malaysia. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we're talking today about online bullying, specifically online bullying here in Malaysia among the young, because a new study that was put out by UNICEF as well as the United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children found that 3 out of 10 young Malaysians have been victims of online violence or bullying, which is just not a great statistic to have to look at. So we're heading straight to the source now. Mark Vergara, Chief of Communications at UNICEF Malaysia, who's joining us on the line. Mark, thank you for being on the program. Can you talk to us about what this new study by UNICEF set out to find and who was polled?
Yeah, sure. So basically, UNICEF is releasing the result of a youth opinion poll conducted on your report about cyberbullying. And your report is basically an online platform created by UNICEF to gather opinions from young people around the world. And we have around 7 million around the world. On this occasion, around 170,000 young people were asked their opinion in more than 30 countries, only on cyberbullying.
Can you talk to us about some of the findings? Did UNICEF find any patterns among the 30 countries that were polled?
Well, the young people say that they think the violence between young people happens mostly on social networks. So here we're talking about, of course, Facebook, Instagram, but also Snapchat and Twitter, which is, of course, normal because this is where they're most likely to be found. This is the most common place for online bullying. But also we find that around 40%, 42% exactly, of the young people say they've heard of private groups inside the school community where children can share information about other children so they can be bullied as well. So they use basically the school networks as well to bully other children, something possibly which is new and quite worrying. What is important to note as well is that, of course, tens of thousands of children are affected by bullying, and of course they want it to stop.
Could you explain to us in a bit more detail about this form of bullying that makes use of school networks?
Yes, it's not new in itself, just that these are private accounts created in the social networks, and they are referred to by in different names depending on the country, the region, and the social media platform, and they often created to be used by students from a school community. So, for example, students follow them generally to with the goal of being updated on the social activities, but also to share anonymous tips and information about other students without their consent. And they can end up serving as a platform for gossip, insult, bully, and harassment of fellow classmates. And so basically the school, of course, is a great way to be connected. Connected schools are extremely useful for children, for the education, but also we find that it also has a flip side, which is the bullying. So what the benefits are certain, but there's also a risk attached to being connected in the sense that the bullying doesn't end after the school ends. Bullying continues well after class.
So we've been talking primarily about the Malaysian numbers, but did you find any notable differences between the countries that were surveyed?
The survey doesn't pretend to be representative of young people. We say that this is what people think. This is what the U-porters say is happening to them. So in terms of methodology, it's not in a formal poll conducted the way it should be by in social sciences. But still, the report poll does challenge the notion that cyberbullying among classmates is uniquely a high-income issue. For example, nearly 40% of the respondents in sub-Saharan Africa said that they knew about such private online groups inside the school community, which I just mentioned. So it's important early evidence that this is a growing global phenomenon.
Did the poll find out some of the details on why students bully online?
Why students bully? I think it has to do with, frustration, humiliation, and anger that children may have, or the desire to achieve social status. And their actions certainly inflict psychological, social harm. But children who are the bully are sometimes themselves victims. They can be victim of other bullies, they can have problems at home. So one of the points we want to make that the schools, the parents, the community have to address the issue, of course, trying to protect the children who are bullied, but also trying to find out why children bully in the first place. And this has something to do with social problems, family problems. There are many reasons why people can turn to bullies. And identifying these telltale signs at school is extremely important. And in many places, in many countries, we have seen that working with former bullies is actually very useful. Basically turn them around to understand the pattern of bullying so they can in turn advocate and become anti-bullying advocates. But to do this, you need to basically train the communities, make them aware of the risk, understand what bullying is about, how it functions, so that at all levels, like community, in schools and the family, people understand these signs and can do something about it.
Is the strategy for former bullies to get involved in efforts to combat bullying a new or established approach?
No, it's rather new, and really it has to be established. This is where government and system come into place. Basically, it's not only the responsibility of the private sector, like the internet providers. It's not only the responsibility of the parents, or the children, or the schools, or the government. Basically, all these entities have to work together. So it is new, and where it has to work is when you have organizations like UNICEF or NGOs working at the community level with the schools, so that the messages on bullying goes from the school and then spreads beyond the school into the community. And this is related more or less not only to cyberbullying, of course, it's related to all kinds of violence. So the anti-bullying is not limited to the world of social media and private media platforms. So we want to make sure that we don't focus only on the cyber aspect, and that bullying, of course, goes beyond the phones and the applications.
Right, and are there any specific aspects that you feel are important to highlight, specifically in the Malaysian context?
We are working with the government, the Ministry of Education in particular, against the phenomenon of bullying in general. And this is why we're organizing End Violence Youth Camp, actually early next month in October. This is part of our overall campaign against violence against children, with a particular angle on anti-bullying at the school policy. As part of this, we have selected, for example, young people to present recommendations to the government, to Parliament, during a kids' takeover for World Children's Day in commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of a Child. This is one aspect. There are many ways of doing it, but it's important, as I mentioned, to work at different levels, community levels, ministry level, both with the private sector and at the community level with the parents in particular. So there's no magic trick to solve the bullying issues, and with the fact that now bullying is also and essentially on a cyber type of bullying, it's essential that we cover all angles and that we work with many, many entities to solve the problem.
So will UNICEF be working with the Ministry of Education to advance efforts on establishing an anti-bullying school policy?
Yes, of course. I mean, the Ministry of Education is one of the prime partners for UNICEF. As I mentioned, we have embarked on this involvement of young children, of young people in suggesting solutions and recommendations to the ministry, to various departments, so that the government officials hear it directly from the young people. I think it's important that they get to grips with the reality, what it means in practice, and that the recommendations don't stay too broad, but to come to very specific action. And one clear example is the need to have helplines for young people, so they know basically who to call. We found out that too many people did not know about the helpline. I think in Malaysia, around 27% of respondents only knew about the helpline to turn to if they are a victim of cyberbullying or online violence. It's quite shocking, actually, to know that. So it's urgent, really, in the Malaysian context to continue to promote child helplines and the support systems. It also shows the weak social support system available in Malaysia. And I think people know the helpline 15999, Talian Kasih. I think it's worth repeating in case people are victim of cyberbullying, online bullying. This is a number of people should call 15999, Talian Kasih. It's essential to basically promote this helpline.
One final question, Mark. What kinds of efforts can there be to educate parents on bullying?
I think, yes, maybe really make sure that they understand that they're up to date with the tools, digital tools that the children are using. If parents think they know what the children are up to, and in practice, in fact, the danger comes once the child is behind closed door in their bedroom, when they think they're safe, and in fact, possibly the danger is there. So home is not necessarily safe when it comes to cyberbullying. So understanding what your child may be up to, basically maybe controlling the applications, parent control applications that are available, but really trying to keep up to date with the many, many platforms that children are using. There's always new creative ways for children to get in touch with each other, and it's extremely difficult to keep up because they keep on changing, and what is fashionable one day is not fashionable the next month. And as I said, some are also limited to the school network. So being aware of all this array of this range of applications, that's the first task for a parent, to understand basically what their children are up to.
Mark, thank you so much for sharing your insights. That was Mark Vergara, Chief of Communications at UNICEF Malaysia, sharing the results from their study on bullying in schools. And as Mark mentioned, if you are a victim of bullying, or if you know someone who is, the helpline to call is 15999. If you have any thoughts to offer on the subject of online bullying, especially if it's something that you've experienced yourself, you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and of course, tweet us as well at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.